Something caught him around the ankles and he fell spectacularly, skidding along on his front for 6 feet before coming to a halt. Someone behind him was laughing. He rolled over onto his back and saw Malfoy concealed in a niche beneath an ugly dragon-shaped vase.
"Trip Jinx, Potter," he said. "Hey, Professor! Professor! I've got one!"
Umbridge came bustling around the far corner, breathless but wearing a delighted smile.
"It's him," she said jubilantly at the sight of Harry on the floor. "Excellent, Draco, excellent. Oh, very good. 50 points to Slytherin. I'll take him from here. Stand up, Potter."
Harry got to his feet, glaring at the pair of them. He had never seen Umbridge looking so happy. She seized his arm in a vice-like grip and turned, beaming broadly, to Malfoy.
"You hop along and see if you can round up any more of them, Draco," she said. "Tell the others to look in the library. Anybody out of breath, check the bathrooms. Miss Parkinson can do the girls' ones. Off you go. And you,"
she added in her softest, most dangerous voice as Malfoy walked away,
"you can come with me to the headmaster's office, Potter."
They were at the stone gargoyle within minutes. Harry wondered how many of the others had been caught. He thought of Ron. Mrs. Weasley would kill him. And of how Hermione would feel if she was expelled before she could take her OWLs. And it had been Seamus's very first meeting. And Neville had been getting so good.
"Fizzing Whisby," sang Umbridge,
and the stone gargoyle jumped aside. The wall behind split open, and they ascended the moving stone staircase. They reached the polished door with a griffin knocker, but Umbridge did not bother to knock. She strode straight inside, still holding tight to Harry. The office was full of people. Dumbledore was sitting behind his desk, his expression serene, the tips of his long fingers together. Professor McGonagall stood rigidly beside him, her face extremely tense. Cornelius Fudge, Minister of Magic, was rocking backward and forward on his toes beside the fire, apparently immensely pleased with the situation. Kingsley Shacklebolt and a tough-looking wizard Harry did not recognize, with very short, wiry hair, were positioned either side of the door like guards, and the freckled, bespectacled form of Percy Weasley hovered excitedly beside the wall, a quill and a heavy scroll of parchment in his hands, apparently poised to take notes. The portraits of old headmasters and mistresses were not shamming sleep tonight. All of them were watching what was happening below, alert and serious. As Harry entered, a few flitted into neighbouring frames and whispered urgently into their neighbours' ears. Harry pulled himself free of Umbridge's grasp as the door swung shut behind them. Cornelius Fudge was glaring at him with a kind of vicious satisfaction upon his face.
"Well," he said. "Well, well, well."
Harry replied with the dirtiest look he could muster. His heart drummed madly inside him, but his brain was oddly cool and clear.
"He was heading back to Gryffindor Tower," said Umbridge.
There was an indecent excitement in her voice, the same callous pleasure Harry had heard as she watched Professor Trelawney dissolving with misery in the entrance hall.
"The Malfoy boy cornered him."
"Did he? Did he?" said Fudge appreciatively. "I must remember to tell Lucius. Well, Potter, I expect you know why you're here."
Harry fully intended to respond with a defiant yes. His mouth had opened, and the word was half formed, when he caught sight of Dumbledore's face. Dumbledore was not looking directly at Harry. His eyes were fixed upon a point just over his shoulder, but as Harry stared at him, he shook his head a fraction of an inch to each side. Harry changed direction mid-word. "Yet no."
"I beg your pardon," said Fudge.
"No," said Harry firmly.
"You don't know why you're here?"
"No, I don't," said Harry. Fudge looked incredulously from Harry to Professor Umbridge. Harry took advantage of his momentary inattention to steal another quick look at Dumbledore, who gave the carpet the tiniest of nods and the shadow of a wink.